I brought notes, don't know why, but I brought them. I had two attempts at putting a message together. Maybe it was three. It was three. This is the fourth. So you get the guys that come in and they have their message, just Holy Spirit will never let me do that. Except on a Thursday night, I can do, boom, I can do the teaching, boom, boom, boom. Line upon line and hermeneutically sound and all. But then Sunday morning. Then Sunday morning comes. And y'all come. That's Southern, you know. Y'all. For y'all. And we're all of a sudden, when you come in the room, the Holy Spirit knows where every one of your hearts are. And He messes me up. He messes me up. Because He says, are you going to let me have the reins? And I'm, you know, we all want to yield to our reins, rather His reins. But I have learned in the short years that I've been doing this. You know, I've been doing this over 25 years. You'd think I'd get it down by now. You'd think I'd have it figured out. That's it. That's it. There's no method with the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. Methodology goes out the door. If you listen, you know. And you're all looking going, what is He going to do next? Because they just know. They just know. And it's and it makes people nervous. I'm not nervous. I'm excited. Well, Father, I yield to You this morning. Holy Spirit, I yield to the wisdom of heaven. And I ask that You have Your way this morning. And that You bring relevance to Your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see, it's interesting in the book of Revelation. I'm just going to go there. That's where He's telling me to go. In the first chapters of the book of Revelation, do you know who Jesus speaks to? Do you have any idea? It's the church. The first stage of the book of Revelation, He talks to seven churches. And I just heard recently that all those churches are gone that were in Turkey. That's where they were. But they're only gone in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, they're still here. Because in those seven churches, Jesus spoke to them very clearly. And the only church that He had good things to say about was the church at Philadelphia, Philippi, which is the church, in the Greek, is the church of brotherly love. They understood and kept in front of them the love of God. They kept Him first. When you take God out of the church and it becomes a religion, a denomination, a structure, you lose. You lose. Because Jesus isn't coming for a structure. He's coming for a church without spot, or wrinkle. Those are the scriptures that I have in notes, but I can't guarantee you that. But in those churches, every place, Jesus says, I have this one thing about you. I love what you're doing. I love how you've done this, and I love how you've done that. But I have an issue. You've either lost your first love, you have turned from me, and you have forgotten about me. Where are we sitting today? Where are we sitting? Are we sitting with Him as our first love? Or is everything else our first love? You know, Joan and I are camping at Lakeside. And even though I'm camping, it doesn't mean anything to me. It means absolutely nothing. A lot of people, that's the greatest thing in the world. Just get away and forget. I never get away and I never forget. I never get away and I never forget God. I can't. How do I do that? How do I forget who He is in me? How do I forget His name? How do I forget to talk to Him? And I see the hurts and I see the pain in people. That's what I see. I see it this morning. I see it there. And then I pray. And then I pray. And I ask the Father, Father, reveal Yourself to them. Because I can't. I can't be the revelator to you. But He can reveal Himself to you in ways you have never experienced before in your life. I have had many, many experiences with God. Many. I have talked to Him verbally, and He has spoken back to me verbally. I have visited Him. When I was gone from the earth at 5, run over, dead. But you know what? In all the experiences, every experience that I've had with Him, there is absolutely nothing more enjoyable than the everyday moment in His presence. Every day. Jesus said this. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I'm the last. There's no one that's going to come before me. In Genesis chapter 1, when God says that He created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, when you go, and you've heard me say this, when you go to the Hebrew, there is a little two-word piece in there. And it's just, the Jews do not have an explanation for it. And it's, as we would write it, E-T, but the real, that's the vowels, but the real letters are an A and a T, the Aleph and the Toph, which means in the beginning and the end. But in the Hebrew, that means nothing in that sentence, absolutely nothing. But to you and I, it means Jesus was in the beginning with the Father when He created the heavens and the earth. That's what that means. It means that the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, was right there. The Alpha and the Omega was right there in the beginning. He has always been there from the very inception of what the Father had done when He spoke. And the Spirit of God went. And they created and made light and substance. Amen? Whew. See, now I get excited about those things. I get real excited about it. Oh, if you're taking notes, this is about the Jesus I know. That's the title I put, if you want to go with that title. The Jesus I know. So all those scriptures kind of pertain to that. But there's more to that than just the Jesus I know. It's the Jesus who saves me. It's the Jesus who heals me. Christianity is not just about words. Christianity is about action. There's too many words that go on, and we try to settle what it is in our Christian walk by words. We want to argue. We want to disagree. Well, you're not a good Christian because you do this. Really? Where do you get that? You're not a good Christian because you do that. Oh. Every one of us are making mistakes, but it's time for the church to quit walking in the same place they've been walking every day. Every day. It's time. Time to step out of the muck and the mire. I was telling John today, Nesbitt, because he asked me, how's it going? He thought, I told him, I said, I got my boots out of the cement. I got my boots out of the cement. He said, did you go and put your signature and step in there and put your footprint? I said, no, I didn't do that. I said, I got my boots out of the muck and the mire. That's what it is. When we're constantly stepping into stuff. Have you ever done that? Step into stuff? Yeah. I'm probably going to get into some stuff. May not like the stuff. Do you know in the day? Let's look at 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I think it's 1. 1 through 10. Yeah. Now before you see this, or you see it now anyway, what you see up there is John is relating. He's relating to a group of people and what they said. They were denying and saying, well, Jesus wasn't here. Jesus came not physically, but just, and didn't die on the cross and all that. These are all those things that they were teaching out there. So John goes, now wait a minute, all you great teachers out there that think you know everything. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. They handled, they touched Jesus, physically. So they're saying to all the naysayers, Listen, he's real. He's real. And you know what? I'm going to say this to you today. You can touch him too. You can touch him. Don't let anybody say to you that you can't. I won't give up a fight. I will not give up a fight. I will hold on to him with everything there is. And that's what you got to do. Some days you have to hold on like there's no tomorrow. Because there isn't. Hold on to him with everything you've got. Really? Okay. Really? I don't know why he does this to me all the time. I don't know who you are, but some of you, somebody, I'll put somebody, I don't know, is about to have a job change. I don't know why God is doing stuff in a crazy way now. You're about to have a job change. I don't know who that is, but it's about to change. It's about to change. And if that's you, take it. That's all I got to say. Just take it. Okay. So John is saying, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life. What is he talking about? What Jesus did for you, he's doing through you. Which was with the Father and was manifested. What does that mean? It was revealed to us because I was walking and I touched him. And he touched me. You know the interesting thing is? You're going to still be able to touch Jesus in your glorified state when you're in heaven. And know this, that what you do here on earth has a reflection of what he has for you to do up there. And then what you're going to do during the 1,000 years, tribulation, millennium. I'll let Richard teach that. So, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. You're not going to be sitting on cloud nine and a harp. Forget it. You're not all that good of harp players anyway. You can learn. Maybe Cliff will be there with his guitar, I don't know. But anyway, maybe you can teach the angels some new tricks. Okay. Doesn't that get you excited? It should get you excited. It makes you want to go. I do. I'm ready. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, that's the interesting part. I'll get back to this. The interesting part about the book of Revelation, at the very end, John says, come, Lord Jesus. He doesn't say just come, Lord Jesus. He says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I've said that. But we proclaim to you also, and what I'm proclaiming to you today, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, how do we fellowship? We fellowship around the Word of God. We fellowship. You can't fellowship with the world once you know the Word of God. I mean, you can talk to the world, but you know the difference between talking and fellowship? You have commonality. Investment. You're investing. You're investing in someone else. You're giving up you and embracing others. Oh, glory. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Shucks. Sound like Andy Griffin now. Shucks. And so, is that where I stopped? I don't remember anymore. No. Can I go to 4? So, these things we write, so there's a purpose. So that our joy may be made complete. God wants your joy to be full. He wants to fill you up with joy. Not sadness. Not woe is me. Want me to sing? Huh? Gloom. Despair. Agony on me. Deep, dark destruction. Excessive misery. I thought I had no bad luck till I had no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. And that's where you sit. And you're going, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? Get a pitchfork. Get a pitchfork. A shovel. And say, Lord, you're my shovel. I'm giving it to you. Dig me out. Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to you. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to drive you nuts. No, I'm not. If you hear what I'm saying today, it will help you. You and I have to work on the foundation that we have in our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us there's a responsibility we have. He said, the things which you have heard... Oh, okay, that one was good too. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. The King James says, which I like a little bit better, it says, I just lost it. I know it by heart. Study. Thank you. That's it. Study to show yourself. Study. In other words, pay attention to the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. So when you do the study of the Word of God, you show yourself approved of God. But you do more than that. The more that you study the Word of God, the more of the Word of God that gets inside of you, the more you become like Jesus. The early church, listen folks, the early church did not have a Bible. They didn't have a Bible. And you say, well, they had scrolls, the Old Testament. Uh-huh. And where was that? I'll tell you where it was. It was in the temple. And the priest was not going to let you come and read it. You couldn't. But you get a Bible today. Isn't God good? God is so good. You get a Bible. You get His Word. And you get to read it. If you don't, you're not going to know a thing about Him. You will not know a thing. But if you study, oh, look at that, he changed it. To show yourself, oh, approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of God's Word. Rightly dividing or handling. You know, I handle this, carefully. I don't misuse it. I don't use it like a sword to cut someone. I don't use it to beat someone up. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to change your life. And in changing your life, God, through you, people see and they go, you know something? I don't want to be like that guy. I want to be like him. And you say, well, I can't do that. Well, let me tell you, pilgrim, you can do it. You know, if God can take me, I talk about me a lot, because He did a work in me. And when I worked in the plant, and you heard this, here's what happens. When you live for Him, walk for Him, talk like Him, people go to your boss and they say to the boss, keep him away from here. Don't let him come in this area anymore. I was a relief man. I used to give him breaks. We don't want him. We don't want him. And I said to the boss, I said, I don't say anything to him. All I do is walk over and talk to a good friend of mine. And the boss says, we know, Rich. We know exactly. Why? Because when you walk with Jesus, it's all in that book. When you walk with Jesus, things happen. And you don't have to do it at all. It's not you. That we get offended because people think and they look at you and they say, you can't do that. Why are you getting offended? If you're letting Jesus work in through you, you're not cursing them out. I'm making it plain. And you're not doing anything other than loving on people that they can't handle. Do it. They may reject you, but don't worry about it. They rejected Jesus. I had that happen many times. But you know something? Let me tell you God's honest truth. I will anyway. Many of them who told me at that time, later on, when they needed somebody to pray, guess where they came? When they needed hope in their life, guess where they came? And the Lord worked so much in their lives that they, guess what they did? They wanted to know the same Jesus. I couldn't preach at them because they wouldn't let me. So I lived Him. That's the plain truth about the Word of God. No matter where you are, God will use you for His glory. If you're looking for glory, forget it. If you're looking to be approved, forget it. You will not be approved by man. You're looking for approval from God. God. The more you look to man for approval, the more you're going to be disappointed. Every single day. So I look only for approval from one. Him. Him. Because man will disappoint you. Because it's still, we live in the earth. We still live in our fallen nature. You say, oh, no, I'm saved, sanctified, and holy. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Listen. I guess being plain is what you need. Plain. Plain. Hear me. You have to be very careful what the Holy Spirit tells you sometimes. Sometimes he just tells me, shut up. I love that about, you know, if you will learn to have a real good relationship, you'll be surprised how God will communicate with you. How he will really enjoy the communication. And if I could tell you all the stories of all the things that I have experienced in him that he wants for you, it's amazing. But it's my story. You know that? It's my story. You need a story. Every one of you need a story. And the only way you're going to get that story is getting with him. I met in my many circles, I met a man who he did everything he could, Richard, to avoid going to Vietnam. Everything. So he did a lot of schooling. He went to a lot of schools. And he was going to seminary after seminary and getting his degree. And what was ironic is he said, after I got the degree, what I was trying to avoid, I ended up doing. Because he became an officer and he became a chaplain. And when he became a chaplain, he ended up going. And he ended up ministering. He became a Lutheran chaplain. Which was kind of interesting because he said the Lord helped him understand what his call was. And he ended up chaplain for quite a few years, retired, and then ended up chaplain, or not chaplain, but pastoring other churches besides. So we never know the journey and the path that God has for us. But I want to say to you, no matter what has happened in your life, don't look at your life as all negative, because God takes your life and he says, listen, what has happened in your life, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to turn what was meant for evil, what has hurt you, what has tried to eat you up and destroy your life, I'm going to turn it for good. Will you trust me to turn it for good? Will you trust me rather than the flesh? See, that's the key. Will you trust me, says the Lord, rather than the flesh? Now, I'm talking to somebody today. And you got to hear that. Because we are so connected to our physical being and our abilities to do many, many things. But the Lord finally got a hold of me at 26. And I heard his voice after all the other times. I lost him for 16 years. 16 years, I lost him. And at 26, he brought me back. God does not quit in your life. He is always speaking. No matter what has happened to you, if you could see the future and what he's got, you would be amazed. But he doesn't do that. Thank God he doesn't do that. Because you will never, ever enjoy the journey. You'll never look back and say, whoa, look at all that God has done. Look what the Lord has done. That's important. That's important. I gotta stop. Okay. Let me pray for you. Come on. I know this hasn't been a church service that you are used to, many, except those who have been coming here a lot. You're all used to me by now. No, I don't think they're used to me. Not used to me. Nobody's used to me. So let's pray. Father, I pray for your children. I pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon them and give them peace. I pray, Lord, that your eyes will shine within them. Lord, that they would see